Chapter 18. Taln 4.
"You're going to get me into trouble again, aren't you?" Lon said flatly.
Taln ignored the monk, instead studying the approaching monastery. At first, he'd been shocked at the changes he'd found in Roshar since the last return, but he was slowly beginning to realize that the similarities were even more striking. Over the centuries, his sense of the passage of time had dulled somewhat, but even for him, 1,000 years was a weighty period. Yet Spearholm Monastery, and most of Rael Arum's other structures, stood as they had during the times of the Epic Kingdoms. True, they were a little worn, the constant battering of high storms, even within the protection of the city walls, had weathered stone and forced some replacements to be made. Cromstone formed through the drippings of uncountable winter drizzles had formed crusts and stalactites down the sides of less cared-for walls, giving the city a more organic look. Still, it was amazing in its consistency with his memory.
"I've never gotten you into trouble," Taln finally told Lon as the two walked down the street toward the monastery.
"Oh?" Lon asked. "Sneaking into the palace libraries? Getting Lady Jasnah angry with me? That doesn't count as getting me into trouble?"
"If I wasn't supposed to go in there," Taln said, "then you should have stopped me."
"You didn't tell me you were intent on the royal libraries," Lon said. "Do you have any idea how much trouble you made? And that stunt on the street corner. Honestly, did you really think that would accomplish anything?"
Taln smiled lightly.
"I can't be expected to understand the ways of your culture. I've been gone for 1,000 years. Besides, I'm crazy."
Lon raised an eyebrow. He did not, however, make any move to stop Taln from approaching the monastery. During the past few weeks, Taln had grown increasingly curious about his strange babysitter. The monks appeared to have selected the most apathetic member in their ranks to guard Taln. Lon certainly enjoyed complaining, but he didn't really seem to mind getting into trouble. In fact, Taln got the sense that Lon enjoyed it. Each time Taln did something that walked against the wind, such as his visit to the library or his continuing refusal to go work in the mines, Lon got a subtle revenge on the monastery leaders. Revenge for what, Taln had yet to determine. He was still somewhat confused at how a servant of the Almighty could grow so bitter. Spearholm Monastery was run by the Order of Khonra, the Path of War. Taln could remember a time before the rise of the four monastic orders. However, even then, some monasteries had specialized more than others, and many of those had turned their attention toward the arts of warfare. Vornism had been devised by Ishar, the spiritual leader of the heralds, not just as a way for men to worship the Almighty. Its most solemn duty had been to prepare men for the coming of the Hothen. As such, a system for the training of common men in warfare had been vital. Taln was pleased to find the monastery system still in effect, even if Vornism had abandoned its hereditary duty of preparing for the returns. Khonra monasteries felt very different from their cousins, and Spearholm was a prime example. Instead of the customary cluster of instruction buildings constructed around one grand hall, Spearholm was little more than a connection of four large courtyards. There were storage rooms and quarters for the monks ringing the walls, but the open training yards were obviously the focus of the complex.
"Now what?"
Lon asked as Taln paused just inside the monastery gates. A pair of massive wooden structures carved with 10 sets of intricate glyphs, most of them incarnations of Taln or Hof. Taln scanned the courtyard. It was lined with sand to cushion falls, and one side seemed dedicated to training swordsmen while the other half focused on the spear. Taln's mouth downturned again as he noticed the spears. Even worse, he could see through one of the entry gates to another courtyard where a group of men were practicing with the bow, another useless weapon against the Hothen.
Do you have a plan, or are you simply going to stand there and look menacing? Lon asked.
The Storm Shades will be here in under a year, Talon explained. I need to judge the martial capability of your people so I know what resources are at my brethren's command. You say that Alethkar is the most powerful of the existing kingdoms?
Lon shrugged. Probably about equal with Yakaved. Tull nodded.
I remember seeing shard blades at the feast. I presume, then, that shaping is somehow still available to mankind, even if Apellian sourcing has for some reason diminished.
Shaping?
The power by which shard blades are crafted, Talon explained.
Oh, we can't make them anymore, Lon said. What we have now are all leftovers from the Epic Kingdoms.
How many blades would you say the kingdoms have?
Lon shrugged. Most important landowners, sixth lords or better, have one, and there are a fair number of unlanded shardbearers as well. Maybe 100 here in Alethkar, though we stole a good number of those from Prolir.
That's a fair number, all things considered.
Well, when you happen to have an indestructible magical sword that can cut through almost anything, Lon noted, you tend to keep track of where you put it.
Didn't help me keep a hold of mine,
Talon mumbled.
All right. I need to go spar with your warriors, see how good their training is, coax them into telling me what percentage of the civilian population is trained, find out how big the local military force is, discover what martial advancements in tactics and technology have been discovered during the last 1,000 years, and befriend both monks and soldiers to gain their trust, so they accept my leadership when the time comes.
He paused.
You might want to sit down. This could take a while.
I'd avoid hurting any nobleman if I were you, Lon said, sitting and leaning back in the shade to rest against the wall. You are, by their standards, just a citizen. Getting executed by a petulant lord with a broken arm would be a quick way to end your quest to save the world.
I'll take that into advisement, Talon said, as he strolled toward the sparring swordsmen.
Their dueling forms were unfamiliar to him. The stances and styles had apparently changed during his absence. However, he could still see the soul of the old Epic Kingdom methods in their combat. He and the other Ilin had encouraged the rise of dueling as a formalized art. Through the tradition, the kingdoms had been able to relieve tension in a relatively harmless way, while at the same time honing their skills in preparation for the next return. Several of the groups stopped practicing as he approached, holding their weapons uncertainly as he kicked a wooden practice sword up off the pile and caught it with a deft motion. He fell into a stance, feeling the weight of the weapon in his palm and smiling at the familiar sensation.
"Who's first?"
he asked. A few of the noblemen raised their weapons. Another, however, frowned. "Don't I recognize you?" he asked, eyeing Talon. "What rank are you?"
"Unimportant," Talon replied. "Let's spar."
"He's the man from the feast," one of the others cried. "See? He's shaven, but I recognize that face." Talon cursed quietly as one of the younger men backed away, then dashed off to fetch the attention of the monastery masters. Talon had to move quickly. He selected a younger man in a fine sea-silk training outfit who looked like he knew how to hold his sword.
"You,"
Talon said, facing the man.
"Let's see how you do."
The man didn't respond. Talon stood for a second, then attacked. His feet kicked up sand as he spun forward, swinging his weapon. The man flinched, raising his arm and backing away, but did not raise his weapon. Talon stopped just short of hitting him.
"I think you are in the wrong place," one of the older men said, his face dark.
Talon glanced to the side, noting the group of armed monks running his direction.
"I came to spar," Talon said. "Is this not the place?"
The man snorted.
"You hold that sword like you think you're a lord."
Talon glanced down at the wooden sword. Dueling had always been dominated by the aristocracy. They could afford the finest blades and spend the time it took to practice. However, the sport was open to all classes, or at least it had been.
"I see," Taln said, tossing aside the sword. "All right, then."
He walked over to the weapon pile, selecting a spear. It was blunted, the end was severely battered, and the weighting was poor. It was probably just used to train the swordsman how to attack a spearman. He picked the weapon up anyway.
"All right,"
Taln said, falling into a fighting stance, the spear thrust forward. It had been a while since he'd used a polearm. He should probably take it easy at first.
"I'll take five of you at once."
None of the men moved to challenge him. In fact, to a man, they walked away, leaving him in his stance. Taln's frown deepened, and he stood upright as the monks finally reached him. He held up a hand to forestall any comments.
"Let me guess," he said. "It's against their sense of honor to duel with a common citizen."
One of the monks nodded, and Taln sighed. They were all fighting men. The Order of Khonra obviously still took its duty of training both citizen and lord very seriously, and its members would all be expert warriors.
"Very well," Taln said. "I'll spar with one of you, then. I assume that will be allowed?"
"Certainly, traveler,"
the lead monk said. His sword was still sheathed, but his hand rested carefully on its hilt.
"Just register with the monastery and give proof of 8th citizen status, and we will be pleased to train you."
8th citizen status? Taln raised an eyebrow.
"Excuse me for a moment, holy brothers,"
Taln said, turning and stalking across the sand toward the entrance to the monastery. Lon looked up with an innocuous smile as he approached.
"What are these citizenship levels they keep mentioning?" Taln asked.
"I was wondering if you were ever going to get around to asking that," Lon replied.
"And?"
Taln prompted, planting the butt of the spear in the sand and standing expectantly.
"And you should know what they are," Lon said. "Didn't you tell me you knew King Badgerdon personally? Don't tell me you never read The Way of Kings."
"The Way of Kings was written after the return was over," Taln informed. "However, I did read it during the next return, long after Badgerdon's death. It speaks of levels for lords and cities, but says nothing of citizens."
Lon paused. "It doesn't?" he asked. Taln shook his head.
"I'm quite certain."
"Oh. Actually, I've never read it myself. I just always assumed. Well, anyway, citizenship ranks are the same as noble ranks.
They don't matter much, except that most people are 6th citizens, and you have to be at least a 1st citizen if you want to marry into a noble house."
Taln frowned.
"And I assume you have to be an 8th citizen to train at the monastery?"
"You have to be one to train, or to join the military, or even hold a weapon, technically."
Lon smiled, nodding toward Taln's spear, then toward the group of increasingly hostile monks that stood a short distance behind him.
"You also aren't supposed to leave the city," Lon added, "and you don't count in the census. That's to keep a lord from hiring a batch of mercenaries and moving them into town just before the census to inflate his numbers."
"I see,"
Taln said, turning slowly. There were 7 monks, all armed, most with spears, but 2 with swords, none with practice weapons. Taln dug his toes in the sand, getting a proper footing. 7 men, well-trained, and him with a poorly weighted practice weapon. Perhaps they'd listen to him if he proved himself. Jezrian or Chanaral probably would have told him not to make a stir, but they didn't understand soldiers like he did. Social mores aside, the best warrior always commanded respect. He lowered the weapon, preparing to attack.
"What's going on here?"
a sharp feminine voice demanded from a short distance away. Taln glanced quickly to the side, immediately suspicious of a diversionary tactic. That glance was enough to tell him the battle was over.
Lady Colin,
Taln said, standing upright and setting the spear aside.
That was quick.
Yasna Colin sat in a luxurious litter suspended from the shoulders of four approaching bearers. The litter was draped with colorful sea silks, embroidered blue and red, the side toward him open and held back by two tie strings. The inside of the litter was piled with plush cushions, but none of the softness seemed to have affected the lady's eyes. She sat in one of the intricate, restrictive dresses Taln had seen only among the nobility, green in color this time, and her hair was pulled up in a complex half-braid half-bun with two tails of black hair jetting fountain-like from the back of her head.
"You are becoming a very taxing problem, madman," Lady Yasna informed as the bearers halted beside Taln.
"I apologize," Taln replied, regarding her musingly. "Is that outfit as uncomfortable as it appears?"
Yasna raised an eyebrow, then nodded coolly for her bearers to set down the litter. She stepped out into the sand, her feet covered in sea-silk slippers that matched her dress.
"Walk a little ways with me, madman," she commanded, gliding out into the now empty courtyard.
Taln did as requested, and the lady's guards followed them, standing just out of earshot. Yasna stopped once they were a short distance from the monks and her bearers.
"What do you want?"
she asked in a straightforward voice. "Shinri told me that you were making a stir just to get my attention. What can I do to make you stop being a nuisance?"
"She promised me an audience," Taln said.
"You're getting it now. What do you want?"
"Get my sword for me," Taln said.
"I can't do that," Yasna said.
Taln shrugged.
"You asked what I wanted, and I replied."
The lady's eyes narrowed.
"Do you have any idea the chaos you are causing?" she asked. "People in the capital are growing restless. Most know you are mad, but there is an element that can be swayed by even the most foolish of claims. They are whispering that the return has come, that apocalypse will follow."
"With all due respect, my lady," Taln said, "that's exactly the reaction I've been trying to generate."
"You foster chaos."
"I prepare for what must come."
Yasna hissed slightly, her face controlled, but frustration lurking just beneath.
"Lady Yasna," Taln said gravely, "have you wondered what would happen if I were right? All of Roshar could be in very serious danger."
"The cycle of returns is over," Yasna replied.
"So your records say, and so the kings at the turn of the last return claimed," Taln said. "But who are they to be trusted? Ronad the ambitious? Vadrin, the covetous? 10 rulers your own history dubbed the Oathshard Kings. These are the men whose word you rely upon?"
"They aren't the only ones," Yasna countered. "The monasteries teach that the returns have finished."
"That only started 400 years ago," Taln said. "I've done my research."
Yasna frowned.
"Well, who are we to trust if we can't listen to our religious leaders?
Would you have us instead follow after the mysticisms of the Elinra?"
Taln paused.
"The Elinra?"
"A religion," Yasna explained. "You should look into them. They do, after all, claim to worship you."
Taln frowned.
"That is heresy. Only the Almighty should be worshipped."
"Well, people get confused," Yasna said lightly. "Not all of us have the convenience of being able to speak with the Almighty whenever we wish."
"I haven't spoken with him in a very long time," Taln mumbled.
"They claim to worship you. The heresy of Kanar has returned?" Things were worse than he had assumed.
"You don't live with the Almighty?" Yasna asked. "What kind of herald are you?"
"It doesn't work that way," Taln explained.
Yasna raised an eyebrow.
"You speak rather flippantly of the Almighty for a Vorin," Taln said slowly.
I'm not exactly a model, Vorin, Jasnah replied.
I see, Taln said. What happened?
Jasnah opened her mouth to reply, then paused, shooting a frustrated look at him and folding her arms. One sleeve of her dress, he noticed with interest, was far longer than the other. Jasnah frowned.
I'm trying to figure out how exactly this conversation abandoned its primary topic and moved into a discussion of my theological shortcomings.
I was just curious. I tend to be interested in the state of men's souls.
He paused, smiling.
You could call it an occupational hazard.
Jasnah snorted quietly.
My soul is just fine, she assured. Look, Taln, I need you to stay out of trouble. If you promise me to do so, I can get you an audience with the king. You can deliver your important messages to him.
He won't believe me, Taln said. The sign isn't working.
Perhaps you just need to try it again, Jasnah said. Promise not to make a stir for a few weeks. No more going where you aren't supposed to, no more yelling condemnations on the street corners.
I only did that once, Taln interjected.
Regardless, Jasnah said, her voice becoming smooth and reassuring. That's not the way. You need to speak with King Elokar. Promise to do as I say, and I will get you in to see him.
Taln smiled lightly, but on the inside he was heavily skeptical.
Playing off of my supposed delusions, sister of the king? Lon was right. You are a calculating one.
She was trying too hard. There was something he was missing.
You make a persuasive argument, Lady Jasnah, Taln said with a bow of the head. I'll see what I can do.
Very good, Jasnah said with a curt nod. Visit my chancellor of appointments in, say, half a month. If you've stayed quiet and made no disturbances, then I will try to get you an audience with my brother.
Taln nodded, and Jasnah turned, walking toward her litter. He watched her go, frowning to himself. She was playing with him. Somehow he doubted his audience would be as promising as she implied. It was like the young girl's promise just a short time before, one Jasnah still hadn't really ever made good on. Yet Jasnah seemed desperate to get him to stay quiet. Something was going on. As her litter left, Taln walked over to Lon, noting with dissatisfaction that the monks had absconded with his spear. Lon had settled himself on the sand, eyes closed as he lay back on the shaded sand.
"Did you have an enjoyable conference?" the monk asked as he heard Taln approach.
"Thrilling," Taln replied. "I'm still trying to figure out how she knew I was here. She arrived far too quickly to have been informed by one of the monks."
"Oh,"
Lon said, yawning as he opened his eyes.
"I sent for her just before we left Mercy Home." "You sent for her?"
Taln asked.
Lon nodded. "I couldn't have you getting yourself killed, my dear madman. If you got into a fight with a nobleman and got yourself executed, I would have to go back to weaving floor mats."
For a supposedly docile and reverent bunch, the Cavell monks certainly are hard on floors. Taln snorted, shaking his head and watching jealously as the monks, noblemen, and citizens resumed their training.
"So, are we finished here?" Lon asked.
"Yes,"
Taln said with a sigh.
"You seem uncharacteristically upset," Lon noted.
Taln leaned back against the wall, standing beside the reclining monk.
"This isn't supposed to be me, Lon," he said quietly. "This isn't what I do. I'm a soldier, not a politician or a preacher. I have no idea how to make people believe that the return has come. That is something for Nail or Ishar to do. My duty has always been to prepare the people for war."
"I see," Lon said. Taln sighed.
"Something's very wrong. It's been over a month since I arrived and they haven't come to the city. This is the meeting place. They should be here. Jezerian would have the Aleth king begging him to take over command of the royal armies by now. I can't even persuade a group of monks to fight me.
Where do you think the others could be? Talon shook his head.
Perhaps they've given up on Kanar. Perhaps they realize the epic kingdoms have fallen and so they moved on to more promising ground. They could be in Shinovar, rallying the clans, or maybe one of the other kingdoms accepted them, like Marna did during the second return.
Talon stared off across the sandy courtyard, watching the duelists.
I don't know, Lon. Nothing has worked. The citizenry thinks I'm insane. The nobility fears to speak with me lest they incur royal disfavor. I get kicked out of both library and monastery. To be honest, I'm not even certain what to try next.
Lon smiled. Oh, there are plenty of places we haven't been kicked out of yet. Talon chuckled.
Lady Osna wanted me to promise to stay out of trouble for a couple of weeks.
Maybe she's got a point, Lon said. You yourself said that you're not sure what to do next. Maybe you just need to relax for a little while and let it come to you.
What? Talon asked, amused. Relax by going and working in the mines like the monks keep telling me?
Oh, I'm sure we could find something better for you than that. Maybe work in the monastery, or even this one. If you spend enough time working on their floor mats, maybe they'll let you pick up a spear and spar every now and then. Talon eyed the lackadaisical monk. Lon continued to speak, talking in his lazy way about the virtues of floor mat repair, paying no mind to the fact that he'd complained about that very thing shortly before.
He sent for Yasna, Talon thought, finally understanding. I've misjudged you, he said out loud.
Excuse me, the monk said, pausing.
I thought you were lazy, Talon said.
Oh, let me assure you, I'm quite apt at it.
This whole time, Talon said, you've just been waiting for me to get frustrated. You've been following me around, letting me get myself thrown out of nearly every place we visit, waiting for me to fail so many times that I got bored with it.
Lon sat quietly for a moment. Then he shrugged. I always want to do things the easiest way possible. I've found that men rarely like to be told what they can't do, so I just let them try it. You'd be surprised at how many crazy men simply wanted to try things their own way for a little while before settling into what the rest of the city had planned out for them.
And if they don't settle down? Talon asked.
They do, Lon said. Eventually.
That could take time,
Talon challenged. Lon shrugged. Sometimes months. Sometimes years. It doesn't really matter to me, as long as they don't get themselves hurt and they keep me from washing dishes. Talon cocked his head, regarding the brown-robed monk in a new light.
How many crazy people has the monastery assigned you?
Oh, a couple, Lon said. Sometimes people just need a friend, Talon. I'm not good at very many things, as my divinely annoying brethren can attest to. But being a friend, that I can do. It doesn't cure anyone. I don't think most of them can be, or want to be, cured. But I can often find a way to make life a little less difficult for them.
That's very noble of you,
Lon snorted.
Admit it, Talon challenged. You're a good monk.
Say that again and you'll see how good I am, Lon said, standing up and brushing off his robe. Come on, I'm hungry, not to mention tired of lying around in the sand. Talon nodded, joining the monk as they walked out of the gates. One thing still bothered him, however. Lady Yasna's insistence that he stay out of trouble. She had seemed so anxious, despite her calm air, almost like something was coming, an event she didn't want him to disturb.
Lon,
he said idly as they strolled away from Spearholm.
"Is anything special happening in the next 2 weeks?"
"What?" Lon asked. "You mean besides the dueling competition?"
"Dueling competition?"
Taln asked. "You haven't noticed that the city is abnormally packed with travelers?"
"Lon," Taln said with a raised eyebrow, "the last time I saw Rel Aram, the Oathshard Wars hadn't even started yet. I have no idea what a normal population is."
Lon rolled his eyes. "Duelists from all over Kanar are coming to the city," he explained. "The king is holding a royal dueling competition with blades and titles as prizes. He has to do something with all those cities he stole from Pralir."
Royal dueling competition. Taln remembered something, vaguely from his first day in Rel Aram, when he had burst in upon the king's feast. Take his blade, add it to the pile of those to be won at the competition. His sword, Glyfting. It would be given away at the dueling competition. It would be there, unclaimed, waiting for a new master. Or an old one. Taln smiled broadly.
"Lon, I think you might be right," he said. "I need some time to think. Let's spend a few weeks weaving mats and staying out of trouble. I want the Lady Yasna to forget I'm even here."